Buying Up Heat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This morning, the Energy Department tells us how much we have in reserve. Gasoline, propane, heating oil. It's very likely the price of oil will drop further on these numbers. For heating oil prices, this is the most important time of the year. More now from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Heating oil prices aren't like gas prices. They don't respond right away when the price of crude falls. That's because heating oil distributors are mainly mom-and-pop operations. They typically buy their oil now. Energy analyst Stephen Shork says distributors could wait and buy their oil later, but that's taking a massive risk heading into hurricane season.
So if you are a wholesaler, that is a lot of sleepless nights over the last 90 days. God forbid we have another Hurricane Katrina, another Hurricane Rita.
Those storms could threaten oil operations in the Gulf of Mexico. As it is, Shork says, consumers will pay 15% to 20% more for their heating oil this winter. He also expects natural gas prices to head higher. They're already up 11% from last year. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Oil's at about $119 a barrel this morning. Wall Street has opened lower. Mortgage lender Freddie Mac posted its fourth straight quarterly loss, and it was three times worse than expected. The Dow is down 62 points to 11,552. The NASDAQ has dropped 10. The S&P 500 is down 7. The markets in Asia finished with 2 to 3% gains. European shares are mixed so far. The world's cheapest car is getting more expensive to make. The cost of raw materials will make it harder for the Indian company Tata to keep its promise. Sell the Nano for $2,500 in India. We're joined by reporter Mehul Srivastava. So Mehul, what does Tata plan to do?
Well, there's no chance they're going to scrap the project. This is a big, in a way, vanity project for Ratan Tata, the CEO of the group, and he's made this promise. The cars are already under construction, and they're already going to be rolling out in October. But what he had told his investors was that they would plan to make money off of the slightly upscale models of the Nano. The base model sells for $2,500, but doesn't have air conditioning or power windows or anything. But the slightly more expensive ones, which will sell for about $3,000, $3,500, will have air conditioning. They'll have these things that will make it possible to charge consumers more.
What about the other manufacturers that have been planning to make low-cost cars? Are they having the same problem?
I think it's interesting. Hyundai Motors said they're going to try and do a $4,000 car. Nissan, Renault tied up with somebody in India that said they'd make another $2,500 car. But Hyundai just scrapped their plans. They said they can't make a car for that cheap. And Nissan, Renault refuses to put a price on their car because it'll be 2 years from now when it's ready. And who knows what commodity prices will do until then.
So this might give Tata an advantage in the market because it's ready to go and it is committed to going.
It's a first mover advantage that's fantastic. For the first 3 years, they will have the cheapest car in the world.
And the price of steel and the price of raw materials, is it going to affect its market in other countries differently than its domestic market?
I think that in international markets, they can price the car slightly higher. The reason in India why they're wedded to the $2,500 price is because this car became known as the 100,000 rupee car. And you can't sell a 100,000 rupee car for 120,000 rupees. You got to sell it for 100,000 rupees.
All right, Mehul Srivastava in Delhi, India. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
The people who created those man-made islands off the coast of Dubai in the shape of a world map just got into another business. That would be acrobatics. Dubai World, its property arm, has purchased a 20% stake in Cirque du Soleil.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting efforts that help save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. More on SCA risks and response at suddencardiacarrest.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Gold medal speed skater Joey Cheek will not get to see the Summer Games in person. China has revoked Cheek's visa because of his political activism. He heads up a group of 70 athletes known as Team Darfur. They're raising awareness about China's involvement in Sudan and the human rights violations there. Commentator Robert Reich says this kind of action by China points out a very basic difference with the U.S.
The real competition lurking behind the upcoming Olympic Games is between democratic capitalism and authoritarian capitalism. You see, for years, American policy toward China assumed that trade and economic growth there would generate a large Chinese middle class, and this middle class would demand democratic reforms. Well, we were right on the first part. The Games will showcase a Chinese middle class so big that almost as many Chinese now use cell phones and the Internet as do Americans, and soon as many will own cars. But we were wrong about the democracy part. We thought capitalism and democracy went hand in glove. They don't. Economic reforms in China are well underway. The Chinese can own property and invest, trade what they wish and buy what they want. Private enterprises in, collectives are out. But when it comes to civil and political rights, China today is where it was almost two decades ago, at the time of Tiananmen Square. Authoritarian capitalism works wonders if all you care about is getting ahead economically and being able to afford more stuff. Never before in history have so many people gained economic ground so fast as in China over the last two decades. But if you're someone with a grievance, or you want to criticize those in power, or you're a Tibetan or ethnic minority, or you happen to like clean air, you're out of luck. Democratic capitalism should win in the end because it responds far better to what people want, not only as consumers, but also as citizens. Yet right now, this contest is not so clear. The Chinese economy is booming while we are in deep trouble. You might think of our upcoming presidential election as our own Olympic Games. It will showcase to the world how well democratic capitalism still works.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.